From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 67 and verse 6. God, even our own God. It is strange how little use we make of the spiritual blessings which God gives us, but it is stranger still how little use we make of God Himself. Though He is our own God, we apply ourselves but little to Him, and ask but little of Him. How seldom do we ask counsel at the hands of the Lord! How often do we go about our business without seeking His guidance? In our troubles, how constantly do we strive to bear our burdens ourselves instead of casting them upon the Lord that He may sustain us? This is not because we may not, for the Lord seems to say, I am thine, soul, come and make use of me as thou wilt. Thou mayest freely come to my store, and the oftener the more welcome. It is our own fault if we make not free with the riches of our God. Then, since thou hast such a friend, and he invites thee, draw from him daily. Never want while thou hast a God to go to. Never fear or faint while thou hast God to help thee. Go to thy treasure and take whatever thou needest. There is all that thou canst want. Learn the divine skill of making God all things to thee. He can supply thee with all, or better still, He can be to thee instead of all. Let me urge thee, then, to make use of thy God. Make use of Him in prayer. Go to Him often, because He is thy God. Oh, wilt thou fail to use so great a privilege? Fly to Him, tell Him all thy wants. Use Him constantly, by faith, at all times. If some dark providence has beclouded thee, use thy God as a sun. If some strong enemy has beset thee, find in Jehovah a shield, for He is a sun and shield to His people. If thou hast lost thy way in the mazes of life, use Him as a guide, for He will direct thee. Whatever thou art, and wherever thou art, remember God is just what thou wantest, and just where thou wantest, and that He can do all thou wantest.
Lord, you are all.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a message called The Spirit of Adoption. His text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 18, in which the Apostle Paul shows that having delivered believers from condemnation through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit brings them into the liberty of God's adopted sons and assures them that, by adopting them, God bestows upon them glorious rights and privileges. The unsaved live in bondage to sin, which in turn produces the fear of God's judgment. Through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ are freed from that fear and are led into the liberty of the sons of God. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Spirit of Adoption.
When the Spirit of Adoption comes to a man or a woman, he sets them free from the slavery of sin. All sin will fight. Sin will oppose. Sin will attack. The citadel of man's soul will have the armies of hell attacking at every gate, the eye gate, the ear gate, every other gate. But thank God the Christ of God is in possession. The flag of His residence is flying high. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, brings liberty from bondage and from fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's truly free. In other words, any man who does not have the freedom that justifying grace brings is not free at all. There's so much talk about liberty and spreading liberty. And I am all in favor of political liberty, far, far better than political bondage. But let's realize that fundamentally we're only talking about something on the surface. The souls of men do not know freedom until they know it in Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. If the Son does not set you free, then no matter what other freedom you have, freedom of speech, freedom of travel, freedom of belief, freedom of whatever you like, you are in bondage of the worst kind. There could well be people here tonight, and your own heart tells you that. You know exactly what it is to be in bondage. Behind the smile, there's a slavery that you can't break. I want to tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, is the omnipotent Spirit of glory and of grace, and He brings liberty, the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul could write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think of those three things. I like to invert the order because this is the order in which we are going to experience it. He gives you a sound mind. You can think straight. As the result of being able to think straight, you are able to grasp the great truth of the love of God in Christ. And when you're thinking straight and you're able to grasp the love of God in Christ, then there's power. That's where you get the power to live. You don't get the power to live by somebody putting you on a guilt trip. You may need to go on the guilt trip to see the need that's in your heart and in your life. But somebody battering you over the head all the time, telling you what you ought to do, what you have to do, what you must do, doesn't give you the power to do it. But oh, when you're thinking straight, the sound mind in Scripture is always a mind that's thinking through the gospel. And you see the love of God in Christ. Then that mighty, redeeming love of God in Christ gives you power. Power to live. Power really to live. Power to enjoy the life that God has given you. Power to make your life count for God. Power to live in the fellowship of the Holy One and in victory over sin. With a mind that's not held in the dark bondage of fear. This is what Paul is saying. He has not given us the spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of a sound mind. One of my favorite scenes in the Gospels is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. There you've got the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Must have been one of the most awful sights anybody ever had to see. Here was this man living among the tombs. Now don't forget, this was a man with family and friends. I know that from verse 19 of Mark chapter 5. I don't know, perhaps a wife and children. So when you look at this man, you're looking at a fractured family. You're looking at broken hearts. You're looking at tear-stained faces. Here's a man, and he is possessed of a legion of demons. All hell, it appears, has taken up residence in his very body. His mind is destroyed. His body's destroyed. He's living among the tombs. He's a maniac, a madman, a bad man, a dangerous man. So dangerous that they'd taken him and they'd bound him. But in the frenetic, furious energy of the madman, he snaps the bonds. He's walking and running naked among the tombs. I believe the devil had big plans for that man. You want to know what the devil was going to do with him? Just have a look at what the devil did when he entered into the swine. He destroyed them, and that's exactly what he was going to do with that man. Then Jesus came. Aye, that's the difference. Then Jesus came. They cast Satan out. And in verse 15, you have one of the most magnificent statements of testimony in the whole of the Bible. When the people came, they found him sitting. What? This man that was raging like a wild bull, sitting. Meek as a lamb. clothed and in his right mind. You're not pushing Scripture too far to realize that's what the Lord Jesus does for every sinner whom he really saves. You're seated with Christ, and you're seated in Christ. He says, I will give you rest. You're clothed. Gone are the old tattered rags of self-righteousness. Gone is the naked shame of depravity, guilt, and sin. You're clothed in the very robe of the righteousness of Christ. And then you're in your right mind. Beautiful, beautiful statement of the Savior's saving grace. Could you imagine what kind of a fool you would look to that poor man if you were to go and try to tell him, you know, you really had life back then? That was real life. You were your own boss. You were free as a bird. He'd look at you and say, are you the lunatic? Now I'm free. Now I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Just last weekend, my old church in Ballymoney had its 41st annual missionary weekend. It was always a very precious time, and it continues to be so to this day. Among the people who were taking part was a number of men who were being cared for in a home in Dublin, in south of Ireland, a home that's run by some American believers with whom our churches are working and cooperating. These men have one thing in common. They were all desperately addicted to drugs. And each one of them has come to a saving knowledge of Christ. As anybody who works among drug addicts will know, it's very imperative that they have a time when they can be rooted and grounded in the faith, where they can have an atmosphere where discipline is brought back into the life, and especially where, as they are learning the great truths of the gospel, they are not daily being battered by the influences of the old companions. My wife told me of men who thankfully and graciously made very little of their past, but made much of the Savior. One fellow addicted to drugs from 5 years old. Started by doctors who thought he was a little too rambunctious as a child. Keep him calm. You throw alcohol into the mix, and then you have crime. You have a life that's destroyed. The world has no answer. But each of those men stood up. The overwhelming testimony was, we cannot understand why God would love people like us and save us by his grace. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, when he brings a man or a woman to Christ, he leads them into liberty. I wonder tonight, are you Christ's free man? You may never have been on drugs or drink. Still a slave to passion, lust, and pride, the devil's sin, and all that goes with them. I wonder, are you Christ's free man tonight? Set at liberty by the application of the blood of Christ's redemption. The Holy Spirit leads believers into liberty. And then as we continue through the end of verse 15 into verse 16, we see that the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of adoption, witnesses to believers that they're in God's family. We cry by the Spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, in English we would say the Spirit himself. This is one of those occasions where the translators are trying to be so exact to the original language. In Greek, the word Spirit is a neuter noun, and therefore they put itself. But we would say the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. By the Spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba is an Aramaic word. So if you want to show your linguistic skill and the scope of the languages you can speak, you can add Arabic now or Aramaic now. You can say Abba. The word Father in the Greek text is a Greek word. They both mean the same thing. They both mean Father. And when you bring them both together, the idea is one of intensity and of assurance. By the Spirit of adoption, with great intensity, with deep emotion. This is not something just rolling off the end of the tongue in some meaningless jargon. The Holy Spirit is so witnessing to the heart that from the depths of the soul, with deep intensity and with wonderful assurance, we lift our eyes to the God of glory and we cry, Father! We so stand related to God. The Jews, when they pray, most frequently speak of him and to him as King of the universe. Thank God he is that. Creator, upholder, and King of it all. When you listen to the written prayers of the liturgical churches, most often they are sounding forth very sonorously about Almighty God. And he is Almighty God. He is the all-powerful. But oh, when you put together all that the Bible says about the person and the perfections of the triune God, and you think of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those are intra-Trinitarian descriptions, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We, as it were, are standing on the outside and we are beholding something of the majestic beauty and glory and perfection of the eternal God. But now the Holy Spirit comes as the Spirit of adoption and he so witnesses within our heart and he so brought us to Christ and then to all that's in Christ that we lift our hearts. He is the King of the universe. He is the Almighty. He is all this that the Bible says he is. But we can say he's our Father. Abba, Father. Abba. It's a term that's sanctified because it's the term that fell from the lips of our Savior as he addressed his Father. The depths of his suffering. Abba, Father.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.